This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue bi-idhnillahi ta'ala our explanation of the Hanbali text Bidayatul Abid wa Kifayatul Zahid by Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah al-Ba'li al-Hanbali rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, in our previous majlis, we concluded matters pertaining to Salatul Jumu'ah, Salatul Eid, Salatul Kusuf, that which we pray when there is an eclipse, and Salatul Istisqa, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower upon us His rain and mercies, walhamdulillah. In this majlis, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we move on to Kitab al-Janaiz, the Book of Funerals. Here, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the author discusses the one who is ill. He discusses the one who is about to pass away. What should he bear in mind? The people around him. He discusses after an individual passes away. What's the obligations upon us, the Muslim Ummah? The matters pertaining to the ghusl, the kafan, the shrouding, the salatul janaiz, the burial of such an individual, passing our condolences to the family of the deceased. We will discuss visiting the graveyard also. We will discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So the author states, Kitab al-Janaiz. Janaiz, this is the plural of janaza or jinaza. يُسَنُّ الْإِسْتِعْدَادِ لِلْمَوْتِ. It is recommended to prepare for death and remember it often. وَالْإِكْثَارْ مِنْ ذِكْرِهِ. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, increase your remembrance of the qatar, the destroyer of desires. What is it? It is the matter of death. Allahu musta'an. وَتُسَنُّ عِيَادَةُ مَرِيضٍ مُسْلِمٍ غِبًّا مِنْ أَوَّلِ الْمَرَضِ بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَّةً. It is recommended to visit the one who is sick, the Muslim who is sick. It is recommended for you to visit him every other day at the beginning or the end of the day. Either you visit in the morning or you visit in the evening. You don't visit every single day, rather ghibban. One day you visited, another day you didn't visit. This is recommended. Why? It's the right of a Muslim upon a Muslim that when he is ill, we visit him, walhamdulillah. وفي رمضان ليلاً. And in Ramadan, you visit him at night. That's the recommendation. وَتَذْكِيرُهُ. What do you say to him? What should you remind him? وَتَذْكِيرُهُ التَّوْبَةَ وَالْوَصِيَّةَ. Remind him to make tawbah, to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remind him to sort out his estate, sort out his will. If he wants to make a wasiyyah of one third to an external party, sort out these matters. Remind him with regards to these matters, insha'Allah. وَيَدْعُوا لَهُ عَائِدٌ بِالْعَافِيَةِ وَالصَّلَاحِ وَلَا يُطِيلُ الْجُلُوسِ عِنْدَهُ وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُحْسِنَ ظَنَّهُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The visitor should pray for the health of the one who is sick. أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفيك. We make the dua that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask Allah to grant you shifa, to grant you afia from this illness. وَلَا يُطِيلَ الْجُلُوسِ عِنْدَهُ. And you shouldn't sit there for too long. The individual, he doesn't want visitors right now. You know, you come and visit at a time which is inconvenient. And so don't overdo it. Be cognizant of the etiquettes and the manners and the appropriate time. وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُحْسِنَ ظَنَّهُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the person who is sick, he should have a good assumption of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should have good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you know what, this illness here, it's wiping away of my sins. And if I pass away from this illness here, I'm returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah has prepared for me. Allah has prepared for me Jannatul Firdaus, mashaAllah. Allah has prepared paradise for me, walhamdulillah. So you have good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا يجب التداوي ولو ظن نفعه. It is not an obligation according to the madhab to medicate oneself, even if there is perceived benefit. According to the madhab, rather you have sabr and you have tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That would be better than using and taking medical treatment. وَيَحْرُمُ بِمُحَرَّمٍ. And you cannot obviously use anything haram in treating yourself. So it is better to avoid medical treatment according to the madhab, but it is allowed. It is allowed, permissible if you want to, walhamdulillah. But you cannot use anything which is muharram, anything which is impermissible. So the means, the medication, etc., cannot be that which is muharram, that which is haram. The author states, وَيُبَاحُ كَتْبُ قُرْآنٍ وَذِكْرٍ بِإِنَاءٍ لِحَامِلْ لِعُسْرِ الْوِلَادَةِ وَمَرِيضٍ وَيُسْقَيَانِهِ. It is permissible to write down some verses of the Noble Quran, some adhkar in a vessel, and have the pregnant woman, due to the difficulties of labor, and the one who is sick, drink from it. So you write down some verses on the paper of the Noble Quran, and then you have this put into a vessel, into some water, and you know, this mixes, etc., and you give them to drink. Or for example, you recite over that water, you blow into that water, and they drink from there. And this has been reported from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an. وَإِذَا نَزَلَ بِهِ سُنَّ لِأَرْفَقِ أَهْلِهِ بِهِ تَعَاهُدُ بَلْ لِحَلْقِهِ بِمَاءٍ أَوْ شَرَابٍ وَتَنْدِيَةُ شَفَتَيْهِ بِقُطْنَةٍ وَتَلْقِينُهُ. That when the time of death approaches, when the angel of death approaches, when death descends upon him, it is recommended for the close family member, etc., to attend to wetting his throat so that it's not dry, so that he is able to mention the shahadatain, and also to moisten the lips with some cotton, etc., and for them to implicitly say to him, you know, talqeen, so they should say la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, so that he is reminded bi iznillahi ta'ala. Marratan wa lam yazid ala thalathin illa an yatakallam فيعيده برفق وقراءة الفاتحة وياسين. And they should remind him to say La ilaha illallah. They shouldn't remind him more than three times. Don't overdo it. He might say something which is not good. And so three times maximum. And also remind him if he speaks, he talks, and he says something, etc., then remind him, you know, once more to say La ilaha illallah. That should try for that to be the final words on his tongue, inshallah. Also, those around him, the author states, recommended for them to recite Suratul Fatiha and Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin, in the text it states here, وَيُسَنُّ عِنْدَهُ, rather it should be وَقِرَاءَةُ الْفَاتِحَةِ وَيَاسِينَ عِنْدَهُ, and Surah Yasin upon him. تَوْجِيهُهُ إِلَى الْقِبْلَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ عَلَى جَنْبِهِ. And it's recommended at this time to make him face towards the Qibla. Make him face towards the Qibla on his right hand side, provided there's enough space. وَإِلَّا فَعَلَى ظَهْرِهِ وَأَخْمَصَاهُ إِلَى قِبْلَةِ إِلَى الْقِبْلَةِ. And if you are unable to turn him to the side and make him face towards the Qibla, then leave him on his back and make the soles of his feet face towards the Qibla. So his feet should then be facing towards the Qibla. It's basically as if that bed was like lifted up, then technically his face would be towards the Qibla. Walhamdulillah. The author then states, وَيَعْتَمِدُ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي مَنْ يُحِبُّ وَيُوسِي لِلْأَرْجَحِ فِي نَظَرِهِ. That they should rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding those that they love. And you know, this person is going now, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after those who remain behind. And they should sort out the وَيُوسِي لِلْأَرْجَحِ فِي نَظَرِهِ, and should make an appropriate wasiyyah. وَيَعْتَمِدُ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي مَنْ يُحِبُّ وَيُوسِي لِلْأَرْجَحِ فِي نَظَرِهِ. And one should make a wasiyyah, make a wasiyyah, that's a good thing to do, Or this could mean that, you know, delegate, appoint somebody who is going to oversee your financial affairs after you pass away, who is going to oversee all your affairs in reality, your ghusl, your kafan, your burial, etc. Appoint somebody who will oversee these matters. You have debts, they will oversee these debts, they will sort it out, insha'Allah. فَإِذَا مَاتَ السُنَّةَ تَغْمِيدُ عَيْنَيْهِ When he passes away, it's recommended to close up his eyes. وَيُبَاحُ مِنْ mahramin dhakarin aw untha, and who closes his eyes, any of his relatives who was mahram, etc. So his wife closes the eyes, or his brother closes the eyes, somebody who basically is allowed to touch his body. Wa yukrahu min ha'idin wa junubin wa an yaqrabahu. It's disliked for a female who is in menses to close his eyes. It's disliked for a female or a male who are in the state of janaba to close his eyes, and it's also disliked for them to come close to his body. So according to the madhab, it is disliked for the woman in menses, or the guy or the woman in janaba, to be around the deceased. وَقَوْلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَعَلَىٰ وَفَاتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ When closing his eyes, one should say, in the name of Allah, upon the passing of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And وَشُدَّ لِحْيَيْهِ بِعِصَابَةٍ And close up his jaw. If you need to tie it, you know, some sort of band going around his head and the jaw, so that the jaw stays closed, you can do that. وَتِلْيِينْ مَفَاصِلِهِ And loosen the limbs, the joints, so that they do not stiffen. وَالْخَلْعُ ثِيَابِهِ وَسَتْرُهُ بِثَوْبٍ وَإِسْرَاعُ تَجْهِيزِهِ إِنْ مَاتَ غَيْرْ فُجْأَةٍ وَتَفْرِقَةُ وَصِيَّتِهِ وَيَجِبُ فِي قَضَاءِ دَيْنِهِ The author states that soften the joints, remove the clothes, cover the individual with one piece of cloth, be hasty in preparing the individual for the ghusl, for the shrouding, you know, hasten the burial preparations if they did not die suddenly, and to divide the will and to settle their debts. Sort out all of these matters here as soon as possible. That it is from the ikram of the dead that we bury them as soon as possible, that we sort out all of the affairs as soon as possible. The author states, Faslun, now he moves on to the matters pertaining to ghusl, insha'Allah. وغسله فرض كفاية سوى شهيد معركة ومقتول ظلما ولو كان إثنين أنثيين أو غير مكلفين that مكلفين The author states that the washing of the deceased is a fard kifaya, communal obligation, except the ones we do not wash, the martyr of the battlefield, we do not wash such an individual, and also anyone who was killed unjustly. Whether this be a male, a female, whether it be a kid, they are all given the hukum of a martyr, and we do not perform the ghusl over them. وَشُرِطَ فِي مَاءٍ طَهُورِيَّةٌ وَإِبَاحَةٌ We obviously use water which is pure and permissible. في غاسل إسلام and with regards to the one who is doing the washing, he should be a Muslim or she should be Muslim. Males wash males, females wash females, and those under the age of 7 can be washed by either gender, inshallah. في غسل في غاسل إسلام وعقل وتمييز والأفضل ثقة عارف بأحكام الغسل. The person who is doing the washing must be Muslim, must be sane, must be above the age of 7, and it's preferred that they are trustworthy and they know exactly what they are doing. وَإِذَا أَخَذَ فِي غَسْلِهِ سَتَرَ عَوْرَتَهُ عَنِ الْعُيُونِ تَحْتَ سِتْرٍ And the aura of the deceased must be covered at all times. We're performing the ghusl, yes, but the area between the navel and the knee of the guy must be covered at all times. We wash from over that and we wash from under that without looking. Similarly, with regards to the woman, the area from just above her chest up to the area just below her knees must be covered at all times. Even though it's woman washing, must be covered at all times. The author states, وَكُرِهَ حُضُورُ غَيْرْ مُعِينٍ فِي غَسْلِهِ ثُمَّ نَوَى وَسَمْنَى وُجُوبًا كَغَسْلِ الْحَيِّ And in attendance, there shouldn't be any person who is not involved in the washing. Somebody just wants to come there and stand and wash and watch and watch. This is something which is disliked. You want to participate in the ghusl, no problem. But this is not, you know, some sort of show and, you know, I just want to stand and I want to watch. No, 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 that is disliked. And the persons performing the ghusl, they should say Bismillah before they perform the wudu and the ghusl, just like an individual who is alive, before they take a ghusl or wudu, they say Bismillah wujuban. According to the madhab, it's an obligation to say Bismillah. And if we forget, insha'Allah, all is well, all is fine, insha'Allah. وَسُنَّ أَن يُرْفَعْ رَأْسْ غَيْرْ حَامِلٍ إِلَىٰ قُرْبْ جُلُوسِهِ. It's recommended to raise the individual who passed away, raise their head slightly, and then apply some pressure to the belly region, so whatever was ready to come out of the najasa will be exited. Except obviously the pregnant woman, we don't try to sit her up and do this. The stomach should be gently pressed. There should be some bakhur incense in that area where we are washing to give a nice smell. And then we should pour abundant water, wrap the hand with the moist cloth, and then cleanse the individual in the area of the privates. So put some cloth or some cotton wool, etc., around the hand, and then cleanse the area of the privates of this individual. So after the pressure, obviously, you know, on the stomach region, there's going to be all of this najasa coming out, and so we cleanse up the area of the privates. Walhamdulillah. The author states, وَحَرُمَ مَسُّ عَوْرَةٍ مَنْ لَهُ سَبْعُ سِنِينَ. It is impermissible to touch the awrah of somebody who is 7 years or older. So you are washing this individual and they're at the age of 10, you cannot touch their private area. And any other individual, you know, older than the age of 7, you cannot touch their privates. ثُمَّ يُدْخِلْ إِبْهَامَهُ وَسَبَّابَتَهُ وَعَلَيْهِمَا خِرْقَةٌ مَبْلُولَةٌ بِمَاءٍ بَيْنَ شَفَتَيْهِ فَيَمْسَحُ أَسْنَانَهُ. And then you put some little bit of moist water, etc., on the finger and on the finger and the thumb, and you cleanse the lips and you wipe the lips and you wipe the teeth, insha'Allah, and also the nostrils, you cleanse them, insha'Allah. Best option, especially today, and in fact that's the law in most places, when you're washing the deceased, you have gloves on, and that is the best option. That is the best option, insha'Allah, that you use gloves to wash the deceased. Walhamdulillah, so that, you know, there's no najasa, etc., which comes upon you, walhamdulillah. The author then states, وَلَا يُدْخِلُ مَاءً فِي فَمِهِ وَأَنْفِهِ وَيَغْسِلُ رَأْسَهُ بِرَغْوَةِ سِدْرٍ وَبَدَنَهُ بِثُفْلِهِ ويغسل شقه الأيمن ثم الأيسر ثم يفيض الماء على جميع بدنه. The author states, and then you perform the wudu for this individual, which is recommended without putting water into the mouth and the nose. We've already cleansed the mouth and we wipe their teeth, so there's no need to pour water into the mouth or the nostrils, because where's that water gonna go? It's gonna get stuck there. Allah musta'in. And then we wash the body, we wash the head with the foam of sidr, the plant sidr, and the body with that mixture of sidr and the water. And most places, they, for example, today would use some sort of soap, and they would use water, and they would use some perfume in that water. Walhamdulillah. They are to wash the right hand side and then the left hand side, and then pour water, and then pour water over the entire. Pour water over the entire body, walhamdulillah, and then pour water over the entire body. So we wash the entire body of the deceased, walhamdulillah. وَكُرِهَ اِقْتِصَارْ عَلَىٰ غَسْلِهِ مَرَّةً إِلَّمْ يَخْرُجْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنْ خَرَجَ وَجَبَ إِعَادَتُهُ إِلَىٰ سَبْعٍ فَإِنْ خَرَجَ بَعْدَهَا حُشِيَ بِقُطْنٍ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَمْسِكْ فَبِطِينِ حُرٍّ ثُمَّ يَغْسِلُ الْمَحَلَّ وَيُوَضَّأُ وُجُوبًا. It is disliked to wash them only once if nothing comes out. So one time, washing the individual only one time, washing the deceased only one time, this is something which is disliked. Rather, don't stop on one. At least the minimum three times wash the deceased, insha'Allah. But if some najasa had been exited, then we are we are required to wash the individual one more time, up to seven times. After seven, if there's still najasa which is being exited, excreted, then we do not continue the washing. Rather, the author states, if something comes out after that, after seven times, that area where the najasa is, etc., is stuffed with some cotton, and if that doesn't hold, then with some soil, maybe he's got a wound which is gushing out blood, eventually we need to plug that. Then the area is washed and wudu is made for them, which is obligatory. And so we finish up with this wudu and nothing else we can do, inshallah. With regards to the woman who had a miscarriage of 4 months, after 4 months, then it's like any other kid. So after 4 months, the rule and the regulation is that this this baby here will be washed and ghusl performed and kafan and everything is normal. But if she had a miscarriage after 1 month of pregnancy, after 2 months of pregnancy, then what is miscarried is wrapped up, and then this is buried. There's no washing here, there's no ghusl, there's no kafan, there's no salatul janazah, etc., which will be performed over that. Why? Because we give the ruling of life after 4 months, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The author then moves on and states, faslun. He now moves on to the matters pertaining to shrouding, walhamdulillah. So we've discussed the ghusl in completion, walhamdulillah. With regards to shrouding, وَتَكْفِينُهُ فَرْضُ كِفَايَةً. Shrouding is a communal obligation, just like the ghusl and salatul janazah.
وَيَجِبُ لِحَقِّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلِحَقِّهِ ثُوبٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا يَصِفُ الْبَشَرَةَ يَسْتُرُ جَمِيعُهُ.
It's an obligation, it's an obligatory right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a right of the deceased that we shroud this individual. Shrouding them from head to toe, minimum with one sheet, this is the obligation.
وَسُنَّ تَكْفِينُ رَجُلٍ فِي ثَلَاثٍ لَفَائِفٍ بَيْضٍ مِنْ قُطُنٍ.
It is recommended to shroud the man with 3 white cotton wraps and disliked if it's more than that.
وَسُنَّ تَكْفِينُ رَجُلٍ فِي ثَلَاثٍ لَفَائِفٍ بَيْضٍ مِنْ قُطُنٍ وَكُرِهَ فِي أَكْثَرٍ.
More than 3 is disliked. 1 is the minimum, 3 is the recommendation.
تُبْسَطُ عَلَى بَعْضِهَا بَعْدَ تَبْخِيرِهَا بِنَحْوِ عُودٍ.
It is recommended to shroud the man in 3 white cotton wraps and disliked more than that. If they are laid on top of each other after it was being steamed, after it was like steamed with incense or something like oud, so give the shroud a nice smell. The best of them is placed outside with hanut between each one. So between each sheet, so we are using 3, then we have some of this powder, this perfume, etc., put there, this hanut. Then they are then laid on top of them. So the deceased is then placed over the third of them. The left side of the top wrap is brought to the right-hand side, and then the left-hand side, so we are wrapping the deceased up in the shroud. Then the right hand side and then the left, after which is the second and then the third in a similar manner. Most of the excess is to be at the head, and then they are tied and later untied in the grave. And so this is how we shroud the individual. We use these 3 sheets. We have the deceased placed in the middle, and then we shroud him completely, walhamdulillah. And after the shrouding, then we use these like bands to tie up the shroud, and these knots will be undone in the grave, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Allahu musta'an. After discussing the minimum shroud for the male, which is 1 and 3, the sunnah, the author now moves on to the female, insha'Allah.
وَالسُنَّ لِإِمْرَأَةٍ وَخُنْثَ خَمْسَةُ أَثْوَابٍ.
For the female and for the hermaphrodite. And for the hermaphrodite, we use 5 sheets.
إِزَارٌ وَخِمَارٌ وَقَمِيسٌ وَلُفَافَتَانٌ.
We require something called the izar. We require something called the khimar, which will cover the head. A qamis and 2 wraps. 2 of these are the sheets. So 5 in total for the woman.
For a young girl, it's only the qamis and 2 sheets. And for a boy, it's just 1 cover. Though it is permissible in 3 unless his heirs are not of legal capacity.
Subhanallah.
Look at the diqqa, look at the intricacy here, subhanAllah. If this kid has passed away, and we purchase, obviously from his estate, we purchase the kafan, your kafan will be bought from your own money. If somebody else wants to pay for it, alhamdulillah, nurun ala nur, that is good. But here if we have a kid, and this kid here, the heirs of this kid, they are also minors. They are minors, or they are not of legal capacity. Now we need their permission, you know, to purchase this kafan. And if one kafan suffices, then we cannot buy three, because technically we are eating into their money. That inheritance is their haq, etc. And they don't have the legal capacity to give us permission to purchase the second and the third kafan. So we will only buy one, subhanAllah. After this, the author moves on to the funeral prayer. Faslun. وَالصَّلَاةُ عَلَيْهِ فَرْضٌ كِفَايَةٌ It's fard kifaya. وَتَسْقُطُ بِمُكَلَّفٍ وَلَوْ أُنْثَى أَوْ عَبْدًا وَتُسَنُّ جَمَاعًا And the obligation falls away if even one person prays janaza over him or her, even if it's a woman, even if it's a slave, and it's recommended to pray salatul janaza in jama'ah, in a congregation. وَشُرُوطُهَا ثَمَانِيَةٌ And the conditions for salatul janaza, the preconditions, they are 8. Niyya wa taklif wa istiqbalu al-qibla wa satru al-awra wa ijtinab al-najasa wa hudur al-mayyit in kana bil balad wa islamu al-musalli wal musalla alayhi wa tarharatuhuma walaw bi turab. Intention, the person who's praying needs to have intention, needs to have legal capacity, needs to be baligh, you need to face towards the qibla, a covering of your aura. The conditions for salah, one needs to be free of najasa, we need to have the deceased body there if we are praying within the city. If we're praying within the city where the deceased passed away, then we need to have the body. But if I'm in another country, then that's a different matter. Then here we pray Salatul Ghaib, if I'm in a different country, in a different land. But if I'm in the city, I don't go and pray Salatul Ghaib while I can attend the actual janaza salah. Wa Islamul Musalli wal Musalla Alay, the Islam of the one praying and the Islam of the person who passed away, we pray over the Muslim. Wa taharatuhuma walaw biturab, and their purification, even if it was with tayammum. وَأَرْكَانُهَا سَبْعَةٌ The pillars are 7. القيام في فرضها والتكبيرات الأربع وقراءة الفاتحة والصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والدعاء للميت والسلام والترتيب. The pillars are 7. One needs to stand and do this prayer. The 4 extra takbirs. One needs to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, salawat upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for the deceased, and make your salam at the end of the prayer, and do all of this in order. These are the pillars of Salatul Janazah. وَسُنَّ قِيَامُ إِمَامٍ وَمُنْفَرِدٍ عِنْدَ صَدْرِ رَجُلْ وَوَسَطْ Imra'atin, that the imam stands facing the chest of the man and facing the waist of the woman. Wasifatuha an yanwi thumma yukabbir, intend what you are praying and then you say Allahu Akbar. Remember, there's nothing before Allahu Akbar, whether it be Salatul Janaza, whether it be your Salatul Fajr, there's nothing that you say before Allahu Akbar. Intention is in your heart. Wa yaqra'ul Fatiha thumma yukabbir, recite Suratul Fatiha, then Allahu Akbar. Wa yusalli 'ala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kafa At-tashahud, and then you send salawat upon the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like you do in your normal tashahud of salah. Thumma yukabbir wa yad'u lil mayyit, then you say Allahu Akbar and you make dua for the deceased. Wal afdal bi shay' mimma warad, and it's best to make the dua which has been narrated. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina wa saghirina wa kabirina wa dhakarina wa unthana. Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna fa ahyihi ala al-islam wa man tawaffaytahu minna fatawaffahu ala al-iman. Allahumma la tahrimna ajrah wa la taftinna ba'da ila akhirih, until the end. If you know these, then you mention this. Otherwise, Allahumma arhamhu, Allahumma ighfir lahu, oh Allah forgive him, oh Allah forgive her, etc. Allahumma ighfir laha warhamha, whatever dua you know, but what has been narrated by the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is best. Thumma yukabbir wa yaqifu qalilan wa yusallim, then the last takbir, and then after that you make your salam. Wa yujzi'u wahidatun, one salam to the right suffices. Walau lam yaqul wa rahmatullah, even if you only said assalamu alaykum, it suffices insha'Allah, and one salam suffices bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. The author now moves on faslun to the matters pertaining to burial insha'Allah. وَحَمْلُهُ وَدَفْنُهُ فَرْضْ كِفَايَةً. Transporting, burying this person, shrouding, janazah, salah, all of these were فَرْضْ كِفَايَةً. وَيَسْقُطَانْ وَتَكْفِينٌ بِكَافِرٌ. But even if it was fulfilled by a non-believer, are no longer required. Transporting, burial, and shrouding the deceased are communal obligations. But if it is fulfilled by a disbeliever, then it is done. Walhamdulillah. Obviously, disbeliever doesn't pray janazah over him. But if a disbeliever shrouded and buried the individual, then walhamdulillah, that suffices. وَسُنَّ كَوْنُ مَاشٍ أَمَامَ الْجَنَازَةِ. Recommended to walk in front of the funeral procession, in front of the janaza, that's if you are walking. وَرَاكِبٌ خَلْفَهَا. But if you're in a car, etc., then you are behind the janaza. وَتَعْمِيقُ قَبْرٍ وَتَوْسِعِهِ. And it is recommended, it's good to have a deep enough grave and a wide enough grave that is required, insha'Allah. The author states, وَكُرِهَا رَفْعُ الصَّوْتِ. It is disliked, it is makruh to raise your voice during this funeral procession. وَمَعْهَا وَلَوْ بِذِكْرِ. Even if it's لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, or making some dhikr aloud, this is disliked. وَالْقُرْآنِ. Reading Qur'an, this is disliked while in the funeral procession. وَإِدْخَالُ الْقَبْرِ خَشَبًا. Entering into the grave with some wood. أَوْ مَا مَسَّتْهُ النَّارِ. Or that which can burn, that which can burn, you don't enter it into the grave. وَتَجْسِيسُهُ وَبِنَاءٌ. Disliked for you to plaster the grave, for you to build upon the grave. وَكِتَابَةٌ. To write on the grave. وَمَشْيٌ. To walk on the grave. جُلُوس عَلَيْهِ. To sit on the grave. All of these matters here, they are disliked. There is a riwayah that they are all haram, but we are talking about the official position. They are all makruh. يجب أن يستقبل به القبلة. And then it's obligatory that the deceased is faced towards the qibla while he's in the grave. He is faced towards the qibla. وَيُسَنُّ عَلَى جَنْبِهِ الْأَيْمَنِ. And put him on his right hand side, make him face towards the qibla. وَحَرُمَ دَفْنُ إِثْنَيْنِ فَأَكْثَرْ فِي قَبْرٍ إِلَّا لِضَرُورَةٍ. And we do not bury more than one individual in a grave. We only bury one individual per grave. Unless there's a darura, unless there's a necessity, there's a reason for it. وَسُنَّ أَنْ يُدْخَلَ مَيِّتٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ رِجْلَيْهِ إِنْ كَانَ أَسْهَلْ وَإِلَّا فَمِنْ حَيْثُ سَهُلْ وَقَوْلَ الْمُدْخِلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى مِلَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَحَثُّ التُّرَابْ عَلَيْهِ ثَلَاثًا ثُمَّ يُهَالُ وَتَلْقِينُهُ وَالدُّعَى لَهُ بَعْدَ الدَّفْنِ. It's recommended that the deceased be placed legs first, if feasible, but if not, وَسُنَّ أَنْ يُدْخِلْ مَيِّتْ مِنْ عِنْدَ رِجْلَيْهِ إِنْ كَانَ أَسْهَلْ. With this, it is recommended that we enter the deceased into the grave head first, but from the direction of where the feet would be. So it's not that you enter the feet into the grave first. No, that's wrong in the translation. Rather, we enter the deceased from the direction of where his feet would be. So we enter him into the grave with his head first, but from the direction of where the legs would be, and then we put him, straight and lowered into the grave, if this is easy, or in any other manner, whatever is easy, insha'Allah. And we say as we are entering him into the grave, Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the name of Allah, upon the religion of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then soil is then poured over the deceased three times and then heaped on. And so after this is done, remember, you have two types of graves. You have the pit-shaped type of grave, and you also have the niche type of grave. And so the deceased is put into that niche, and all of the soil and stuff is not thrown directly upon the deceased. Similarly, in the niche type of grave, above the body of the deceased, we have some of these like cement blocks or something put across these bricks, and then on top of that we have all of the sand thrown on. Walhamdulillah. Watalqinuhu. And then there is this talqin after the sand is put over and the grave grave is covered, and it's recommended that each individual there, you know, throws in three heaps of sand each. That's recommended. Talqinuhu is that the person stands over the grave and says, oh, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, that, you know, the angel is about to ask you questions, and these are the answers, and you have died upon the religion of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, etc. So this talqeen here, this is mentioned, and Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he states that this is permissible. It is been reported from some of the Sahaba, but this was not the general practice of the Sahaba, etc. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. وَالدُّعَى لَهُ بَعْدَ دَفْنِي. And we make dua for him after the burial. وَرُشَّ الْقَبْرِ بِمَاءٍ وَرَفْعُهُ قَدْرَ شِبْرٍ. And then we we have the raising of the grave around the height to a hand span, and so we know that this is a grave, inshallah. Also sprinkling some water over the grave, this is recommended, so that the sand, the soil doesn't fly away, etc., especially if it's windy. Wa in ma tathamilun haruma shaq. If a pregnant woman dies, it's impermissible to open up her belly. This is the madhab, but in reality today we can easily ascertain whether, you know, the kid is alive or not. And if the kid is alive, then we perform a C-section and we remove the kid and we try to save the kid's life. وَأَخْرَجَ النِّسَاءُ مَنْ تُرْجَى حَيَاتُهُ. And if, for example, the midwives, they feel that the kid is alive, then they should try to take out the kid. فَإِنْ تَعَذَّرْ لَمْ تُدْفَنْ حَتَّى تَمُوتْ. And if unable to remove that kid, then we shouldn't bury this woman until the fetus passes away. So the madhab stating here that you do not cut up, you do not perform a cesarean, you do not perform a C-section and remove the kid. If you're unable to take out the kid, well, that's all we can do. Jayid. Whereas we say no. If we are sure that the kid is alive, or even if there's a chance that the kid would live, you know, we perform the C-section and we remove the kid. Walhamdulillah. Wa in kharaja ba'duhu hayyan shaqqa al-baqi. And if a portion of the kid comes out while alive, the remainder is open. And if it dies before extraction, it is removed in order to be washed and shrouded without opening. The point is, the madhab very, very careful with regards to, you know, opening up the belly of the mother. Why? Because they say this woman here, she's passed away. There's a hurma, there's sanctity with regards to her body. How can we go and cut up her body? And we don't know whether this kid will live, this kid will die, etc. And so we cannot dabble in those matters. But today we say no. As long as we are sure there's a chance that we can save the kid, we will do whatever is required, inshallah. فَلَوْ مَاتَ قَبْلَ الشَّقْ أُخْرِجَ حَتَّى يُغْسَلْ. And if a portion of the kid comes out while alive, then the remainder is open to try to save the kid's life. And if the kid dies before extraction, the kid is removed, and the baby is removed and washed and shrouded as normal, inshallah. And the author states, if this extraction was not possible, whatever has exited is washed and prayed over with her. If it is not yet 4 months old, then only we pray over her, and technically we do not intend to pray over the fetus, because the ruling of life is not given to the fetus until 4 months. That's the classical opinion, that life is blown into the fetus at 4 months, walhamdulillah. And if it's after 4 months, then janazah and everything is normal upon the fetus, walhamdulillah. Lastly, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatallah, the author discusses condolences and visiting of the graveyard, insha'Allah. Faslun. وَتَعْزِيَةُ مُسْلِمٍ وَلَوْ صَغِيرًا. And passing your condolences to the deceased family, even if it was a kid who lost the parent, etc. This here for 3 days, this is sunnah. فَيُقَالُ لِمُسْلِمٍ مُصَابٍ لِمُسْلِمٍ. You say to a Muslim who lost another Muslim, أَعْظَمَ اللَّهُ أَجْرَكَ وَأَحْسَنَ عَزَاءَكَ وَغَفَرَ لِمَيِّتِكَ. That may Allah magnify your reward, and may Allah make your bereavement perfect, and may Allah forgive your deceased. And the one who received the condolences responds like, إِسْتَجَابَ اللَّهُ دُعَاءَكْ وَرَحِمَنَا وَإِيَّاكَ. May Allah answer your du'as, and may Allah have mercy upon both of us, you and us. Any act of piety done with regards to sadaqah with regards to passing rewards to the deceased. وَأَيُّ قُرْبَةٍ فُعِلَتْ وَجُعِلَ ثَوَابُهَا لِمُسْلِمْ حَيٍّ أَوْ مَيِّتٍ نَفَعَهُ ذَلِكَ. Any act of piety done, and then you transfer the reward to a Muslim who's living or even the dead, whether they alive or whether they are dead, they will benefit from it. So right now, you gave some sadaqah and you're transferring the reward to your uncle who's alive in America. He will get that reward, inshallah, according to the madhab. Someone passed away and you read some Quran and you pass on the reward to that person, they will receive that, inshallah. You prayed some salah, and after you prayed that salah, two rakahs nafil salah, you made the intention of Allah that, you know what, the reward of this salah, not this actual salah is for the dead, but rather the reward of this salah is to be transferred to this uncle in Bangladesh or this auntie who had passed away. They will receive it, insha'Allah. This is the opinion of the madhab, and it's also the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. وَتُسَنُّ زِيَارَةُ الْقُبُورِ لِلْرِجَالِ. It's recommended for men to visit the graveyard. وَتُكْرَهُ لِلْنِسَاءِ. It's disliked for women. وَإِنْ عَلِمْنَا أَنَّهُ يَقَعُ مِنْهُنَّ مُحَرَّمٌ حُرِمَتْ. And if it is known that this woman, she will involve herself in something haram, she will scream, she will shout, she will lament, etc., then it's haram for her to visit. Otherwise, it is makruh. وَيَجُوزَ الْبُكَاءُ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ. It's permissible to cry for the deceased. وَيَحْرُمُ ندبٌ ونياحة وشق ثوب ولطم خد ونحوه. It's impermissible, it's haram to lament. Lamenting is nadbun, is when you raise your voice and you mention, oh, you like this and you like that and you used to do this and you used to that and lamenting. All of this here is haram, it's impermissible. Wailing, tearing the clothing, striking the cheeks, all of this is haram, impermissible. وَيَعْرِفُ الْمَيِّتُ زَائِرَهُ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ. And the deceased knows the visitor who comes to his grave on the day of Friday before the setting of the sun. قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ. قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ. طلوع technically means rising. قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ. جَيْد, before the rising of the before the rising of the sun. Ala kulli hal, with regards to the deceased having knowledge of the one who visits him, then technically this is something that, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah states, that this is something which is not specific to any time. This is like Allah rewarding the deceased by allowing him to know that you have visited him. And that's why we call it the visiting of the graveyard. And that's why we give the salam, etc. And so this is an opinion that when you visit the grave, then the deceased, he sees you, he is knowledgeable of your visiting him, walhamdulillah. And with that, we end Kitab al-Janaiz, masha'Allah, tabarakallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, this is a journey that every one of us will take, a journey to the hereafter. This is not like the book of marriage or the book of divorce, the book of jihad. Some of those matters you might practice upon them, some of them you might not practice upon them. Some of them might be an obligation upon you, some of them might not be an obligation upon you. But with regards to janazah, whether you like it or not, whether you're rich or poor, whether you are white or whether you are black, whatever your color might be, male or female, this is a journey that we will all take, subhanallah. And the fiqh of these matters will be implemented upon us, like it or not. Allahu musta'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us husnul khatima. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us husnul khatima and grant us a death wherein we are not regretful of the life that we lived, subhanallah. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, do not wait for that old age. Do not wait for that time that you are on your deathbed to do good deeds and to do good and make the best of your life. Use the opportunity that you have right now. With that, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we end off this majlis. We ask Allah to grant us the best in this world and in the hereafter. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.